I love that song. I love our time of worship. I love being pointed to who Jesus is. And we've been talking this month about how important our response is to things in life. Today we're going to talk about how to respond when nothing's going right. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. You ever had those seasons in your life where just nothing was going right? You know, Habakkuk in the Bible, it's a very short book, just three chapters, and those three chapters are just a dialogue between him and God. And Habakkuk gets very, very real and honest in his dialogues with our God. In fact, one of the meanings of his name is wrestling. And throughout this book, we see him wrestle with the reality, but who God is. Amen. The book begins with this verse in verse 2. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you will not listen? You do not listen. Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. I wonder if any of us have ever felt that way before, that things just weren't going right. Nothing was going right. Everything was falling apart. And the Lord was very, very fast to respond. We see in verse 5, the Lord's answer, look at the nations and watch, and you'll be utterly amazed. Now that's a wonderful lead-in verse, isn't it? Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Oh, good news is coming. You know, Habakkuk was, sitting on the edge of his seat. Something good's fixing to happen. Verse 6 brings it reality here. I am raising up the Babylonians, your enemies. That ruthless, impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swooping to devour. And they all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock king and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. By building earthen ramps, they capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty people whose strength is their God. In other words, God was saying, Habakkuk, you think things are bad now. Just hold on, it's going to get worse. Now that's not a word that we want to hear from the Lord, is it? Not a bit. But Habakkuk wasn't finished. I say praying yet, but I'm going to put the word complaining / praying. And he says, Lord, verse 12, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Then why do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You've made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks and catches them in his net and gathers them in his dragnet, so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. Or by his net, he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net? Destroying nations without mercy. That is a good question for Habakkuk to ask God. Chapter 2, verse 1 is so important. I love this response. I will stand my watch, this is Habakkuk, and station myself on the ramparts And I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I'm to give this complaint. Habakkuk was at his wit's end. But yet he positioned himself to watch what the Lord would say and also do. And this is key. Instead of shutting down and getting hard toward God, which many of us do at times, he positioned himself to watch and listen. In my mid-20s, things looked pretty good for me. Had a good career, nice house, solid in my Christian walk, Spirit-filled, serving in different capacities within the church. And it looked like from the outside that I was on the top of the world. But things were going to get difficult for me. And I can feel them. I could feel them getting difficult. Things just felt off. I couldn't put my finger on it. God even seemed a bit far. But yet I stayed steady. One Sunday we had a guest speaker here in the church that moved in the prophetic. Some of you may even remember Alan Arrowood. He called me out from the congregation and he began speaking prophetically to me, and some of you actually were here that very day. He said, "Young man, you're going through some hard times. You think you're going through some hard times. But things are going to get harder. Where you might be at a 2.0 on the earthquake Richter scale now, it's going to get to 10.0 before it's over." Now, although it being called out of the congregation and been given a word is exciting, but that wasn't very exciting to hear. I wanted to hear that what the difficulties that I was facing that day, that season, were going to cease. Well, fast forward just a few months, true to form. It wasn't long before it was revealed that my then wife was having an affair with one of our elders. So my marriage ended, I lost my job, I lost my house, I lost my kids temporarily, and ended up living in a small little rented duplex with a bottom-rung lowly job. I felt defeated, beat down, torn up, forgotten, and nothing was going right for me. Much like Habakkuk felt. The prophecy did go on to tell me that God was going to take me down to the bare metal to reform, reshape, renew, and refresh me for his glory. And then he was going to use me in the church in a manner that I'd never considered. And praise God, in time, that's exactly what he did. But it didn't happen overnight. Nor did it happen without me being willing to position myself to see and hear what God was saying to me. See, this was my prayer to him in the midst of all this crazy devastation, nothing going right. "Jesus, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I've got nothing to offer except my obedience. That's all I've got." There were many nights that I would just sit in my tiny little rented duplex and wonder, where was God in all of this? Because none of it seemed fair. The guilty ones were flourishing. They were not being punished. Where was justice? "Jesus, are you even aware at what I'm going through? Now maybe I'm the only one that's been here, but I think not. I wish I could tell you that it was quick and easy, but it wasn't. But I can tell you that God was faithful all the way. I can tell you that he even put up with my grumbling and complaining. I can tell you that he provided for me at every single juncture, nothing withheld. And even when I felt like nothing was going right for me, God was there holding me up. God was there keeping me. God was there protecting me. God was there providing for me. God was there putting me back together. God was there forming me for his future for me." That same was true for Habakkuk and God's people. Listen to some of these verses from the last chapter. Habakkuk 2, starting in verse 2, "Then the Lord replied, Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait on it, and certainly it'll come, and it will not delay. Verse 4 says, see, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faithfulness, God's faithfulness. Indeed, wine betrays him. He's arrogant and never at rest because he is as greedy as the grave, and like death is never satisfied. He gathers to him all the nations and takes captive all the people. That's what the enemy is doing. That's what he did in my life. Will not any of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. How long must this go on? Have you ever asked God that? How long does this go on? Will not your creditors suddenly arise? Will not they wake up and make you tremble? Then you'll become their prey. But you have plundered, because you have plundered the nation, the enemies, the people who are left will plunder you. For you have shed human blood, you have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by injustice. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire and that nations exhaust themselves for nothing? Verse 14, the good news. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge and the glory as the water of the Lord as the waters covered the sea. Habakkuk's final response in chapter 3, 16 through 19. Habakkuk still so very real to God in his communication with God. He said, I heard all that you just said, God. My heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones. My legs trembled. This is important. Yet I will patiently wait for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Here's what I want you to hear loud and clear today, verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree doesn't bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, yet though there were no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet, Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to tread on the heights. Amen. I wonder if that's our response when nothing's going right in our life. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I do know that God knows. And if you turn your complaining into faith-filled praise, you will begin to see the tide change in you. And listen, once it changes in you, the new day begins to unfold. Listen, God's word tells us that he's no respecter of persons. There's not one person that is more important to him than another. We need to remember that. We read about Habakkuk. We read about others. We see what happened in Carmela's life, and we say, God, do you not see what I'm dealing with? You were faithful to those. There's an old hymn chorus that says this, for you, yes, for you, his promise is true. Now let the Savior enter your heart and renew. Oh, glory, hallelujah, God's word abideth true. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Amen. It is so easy to even celebrate in what God has done with other people and think that he's just not cared about us. That he's going to allow this injustice that's facing us or this devastation to completely overwhelm us. And he's not going to come through. That's what the enemy wants you to believe. Listen, you might be tempted that God likes me more than you, and that's just hogwash. What God did in my life, he can do in your life. He can do more in your life than even that he's done in mine. what he's done for me, he'll do for you. When you're at a place where nothing in the world is going right in your life, God's there. And God sees it. And God's not deaf. He's not blind. He is not immobile. He is working for you. No matter how bad things go for you, no matter how dismal they may appear in the natural, no matter how visible the cliff is that you're fixing to fall off of, God has more for you. God hasn't forgotten you. God will do what he says he will do. Our God is our firm foundation, the rock on which we stand. That's our God. And what you're going through is not, is he knows it. But could it be that he wants you to go through some things so that you'll begin to trust him in ways that you never trusted him before? And he can use that to bring himself glory. Amen. You know, we should be willing to lay down our lives for God to get glory. Position yourself in the midst of the mess, like Habakkuk did in Habakkuk 2:1, I will stand my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what I am to answer. What answer I am to give this complaint. Excuse me, I messed that verse all up. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give this complaint. In Habakkuk 3:16, the last part of that verse, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on this nation that is invading us. I will wait patiently for God to bring justice in this situation where my enemy seems to be getting the upper hand. The enemy is invading my life, but I will be patient because God doesn't change, and God says that he'll take care of me, and I have built my life. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, but we have built our life on the solid rock. So instead of getting mad at God and turning anger toward him and being depressed and kicking yourself around the block because things aren't going well, what if you stand and station yourself on the ramparts, on the walls that God has built for you to see what the enemy's plan is? See, as we stand on the wall that he's built, we can see the schemes of the enemy beginning to form. And we ask the Lord that I'm going to wait patiently, but I'm going to ask you for what answer I should have. That means how I am going to respond to what I'm in right now. Listen, life is hard at times. And when you hear someone talk about the goodness of God, you think that they've never experienced anything contrary to the goodness of God. But I'm telling you, I'd lost everything. There was absolutely nothing going right in my life. Nothing. I couldn't even accidentally do something right. But God was faithful. And even though the Richter scale did get up to 10.0, it wasn't the killing of me. It wasn't the demise of me. In the natural, it sure would have been. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, I would have never been able to survive any of that. I would have been a statistic. But God gets glory when he takes things that are dead and he breathes life into them. Amen. And as he's breathing life, guess what also comes? His great love for us. Yeah. His security for us. His care for us. All that comes when he breathes upon us. And listen, no matter what, you think he doesn't know about what you're going through, but he does. In the midst of everything was going wrong, The enemy even convinced me that God was silent. But if I position myself and listen to his voice, he'll tell me how to respond. And God is not going to tell you how to respond contrary to his word. Listen, the world is looking at us and they're watching Christians. And listen, our life is on display. And people are watching. Well, I see that horrible thing has happened to that one that goes to church every week. Let's sit back here and watch how he responds. And in some cases, it helps their position. Oh, well, I respond that way, and he's no better than I am. But when the world sees us responding different, and if you are standing on the rampart, if you are standing there watching and listening for God's voice, he's going to talk to you, he's going to speak to you, and he's going to tell you how to respond. And out of pure having nothing else, strength or anything in my body, I uttered the prayer, Jesus, whatever you want to do with me, I'll obey. Whatever you have for me. And that was a prayer of desperation because I had lost everything. Every single thing that was of value to me I'd lost. But as God does, he replenishes and restores better than you ever had before. And most of that better is right here on the front row, or right over here. God changed my mourning into dancing. And I doubt very seriously the stuff that you've lost is more than what I experienced. I doubt it very seriously. Probably most people here haven't lost everything. You've lost some stuff. And we act like we lost everything. But I can tell you from experience that God's word is true. And he's real. And listen, I was a spirit-filled Christian, tongue-talking Christian when all that happened to me. And I could have just as easily gotten mad at God, gotten bitter, taken justice into my own hands, and created a whole worse situation. But out of his goodness, he kept me. There were some decisions that I made to listen to him, yes, and to be stationed at the right place. But it's his overwhelming care that drew me. That if I was going to even breathe healthy again and have good, solid thoughts in my mind, it would have to be that God did something. And your situation is not worse than that. I know it isn't. And I'm not trying to say I had the worst place. No, plenty of people go through a lot of stuff. But the odds are yours might not be that bad. And when you look at what Carmela went through, some of that she didn't even understand what was going on as God was working in through the doctors and the nurses and the medicine and the prayers. All that was happening, and she didn't even realize it. But God was rebuilding her, restoring her, fulfilling her. And I bet you that if she were sharing today, she would be able to say, yeah, I'm not there yet, but I'm well on my way. And listen, as long as God leaves us here, we are not there yet. But we can be well on our way. You know, for Carmela to walk all the way up here and stand up here beside me is huge. If you think back of what happened in September. If you saw the picture of the car, she's probably got it. She'll probably be glad to show it to you. It will make your heart just stop. Just going to work one day in a truck veering early in the morning. Next thing you know, you're being cut out of a car in the hospital, in ICU, family surrounding you. But she held on to the things of God, the promises of God. Did she have days that they were harder? Yes, she did. In fact, she would text me and say, "Can you pray for me today?" And our team would begin praying. We were already praying, but this was a little more pointed. And listen, many of you have gone through things in your life that you don't think is fair, and it's not been fair. That everybody else around you has gotten a head up on you, and you just got nothing. Well, let me encourage you that God doesn't love me more than he loves you, and he's done amazing miracles in my life. And he'll do the same for you. What he's done for others, we used to sing, he'll do for you. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. If you look at God's track record, that's all you got to do. Read the reviews. We are famous, my wife and I, are famous for reading the Amazon reviews on the products that we order. We want to know if it's a bad deal or not. There are times when we've totally not bought that because of those reviews. But if you look at what God has done, look at the reviews of God, you will choose God's way every time. You will take what he's giving. Amazon sells to us. God gives to us. And his reviews are so good. No matter what you're going through, I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to know that God is going to come through. I want you not to question all the stuff so much, but take your position on the rampart and watch what the enemy is planning and listen to God for how you are to respond. Let others see Jesus in you. Your response to life's curveballs really do matter. Let your responses bring God's glory. Let how you respond to things show people who God is. Listen, I've got much more patience than I ever used to. Some of you around me say, "Well, you still don't have much." Well, sometimes I don't, but I got a lot more than I ever used to have. But I've learned. I wait patiently for the day for justice to come that will just quieten the enemy that's around me, that enemy that's invading my life. He's invading it. Maybe he's invading you right now, and he's just brought just pure turmoil in your life. Do what Habakkuk did. I wait patiently. Not patiently doing nothing, but patiently listening to God. Feeding on his word, reminding myself of where he's come through over and over and over again. And all I have to do is remember just even last week, and I'll be encouraged. You can just remember something from last week and be encouraged. But the enemy wants to take away any dancing that you may have, any joy that you may have, and he wants you to mourn. Listen, there are plenty of things in the world to mourn over. We celebrated a life of a couple that was in our church for a good number of years, and they just moved back to Columbia, and then he passed away. And as we think about those things, there was some suffering there, but there was such a sweetness that his granddaughter spoke at the funeral and said that he was just so encouraging, and he was actually dying. But he loved on his grandkids, and he continue to speak into their lives. And listen, things weren't going that great for Martin right then. And he got to the point that he was ready to go, "Jesus, take me." And once that transpired, there was a real release, and the Lord took him home. But the heritage he left his grandchildren and his children and his wife is so important. Far too many times we're wasting our lives by getting messed up with the things that the enemy is robbing us with, and being impatient and being disgruntled and all those things, when God wants to replace that. You are not even built to live well that way. His ways are to replace that mourning with dancing. to give you joy even in the midst of things that aren't going so well. I'm certainly not saying there are not things that make us sad. They are. But there's something about the joy of the Lord. We actually sang a lyric about that today. Let's see if I can find it real quick on my voice. I'm on my notes here. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. And I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength because I build my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He is not going to fail you. No matter what you're going through, think about how you respond. It matters. It matters not only for your witness, but it matters in your walk. If you're easily to get mad at God, you're going to cut off the relationship that you have that he wants to feed you daily, moment by moment. He wants to pour into you. And he loves it when we've made our stance. And we were standing in a station and we're watching and waiting for his word and watching and waiting for the snare of the enemy. And listen, if you can know the snare before it comes, it won't catch you unless you are not paying attention. But the whole reason to be in position is to be paying attention. The whole reason that God wants to talk to you so much is that we need him every hour. Another him, every hour I need him. Far too often we succumb to the mess of the world and we get mad at God and we turn our back on God and we say, I'm through with this God stuff, when God just wants to take us down to the bare metal to rebuild us, to remold us, to pour out over us. And he wants to do it no matter where we are. He wants to do it. He wants to come into your situation and radically change it. He wants to change you in the midst of your situation. And then you can worry about your situation being changed. Far too often we want to get out of the very thing that God's going to use to bring you where he wants you to be. I could have never spoken about God's restorative power unless I experienced how he restored in my life. How he took what the enemy meant to kill me, to destroy me, to take me out, or to at least turn me bitter. Ha, ha, ha. We got the best of that, didn't we? All glory to God. And listen, that's for you too. That's for you too. God is wanting to take you to places you've never experienced before. And I know as we read about this word to Habakkuk, it got worse after that. But God didn't leave. God was right there, encouraging, giving Habakkuk the insight that he needed so that the intellect that he had, that God had given him, would not void out what he was supposed to do. Our mind gets in our way too often. The world says, yeah, you got every right to be bitter, to be mad, to walk away from God. That's what the enemy wants you to believe. But it can't be farther from the truth. It can't be. Jesus wants to heal you from inside out. He wants to take those things in your heart that have been broken, that are hard, that have been fractured, and he wants to make them new. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows exactly what you're going through. And it doesn't faze him, meaning he cares about it. But it doesn't faze him in a way that makes him inactive. No, he is active in your grief. He's active in your pain. He's active in your disappointment. He is active in the breach that has come to you. He is active in anything that the enemy sends your way. The fiery darts of the enemy. If we're ready, if we're standing ready and we're paying attention, we can hold up the shield, can't we? The shield of faith to cause those darts just to go nowhere. God wants a victorious church. I talked about that last week. And a victorious church means that we're a yielded people. We're a people belonging to Him. Understanding, yes, He has created us as priests, royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a people belonging to Him. So the enemy knows that. And if you're trying to do anything good for God, the enemy is going to amp up his attack. But that's when you stand in position on the rampart and you begin to see things that are coming your way that will take you out. And then you apply God's word. You apply His word. What does God say to do? Forgive. What does God say to do? Show mercy. What's God say to do? Show grace. What does God say? Don't hold them accountable. You know, God's word is so rich. And the more you know it, the richer it gets. The more you know it, the richer it gets. I want those of you today that just are, maybe your life, there's some things going wrong, that you just take stand, right? Just stand up. If things are going wrong in your life, I just want to pray for you. Just stand up. It doesn't have to be horrible, but it can be. I just want you to leave today with a deposit of the Holy Spirit that will set you on a path to allow Him to rebuild in your life. Rebuild that very thing that the enemy is seeking to destroy in you. By your standing, you're just saying, hey, I just need God. And folks, if you're around somebody standing, just gather around them. Just lay hands on them. This is body ministry right now. You don't have to know anything. You just know the one that can fix it. So Heavenly Father, we...